A low in the low 70s. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the upper 90s. Tomorrow night clear with a low in the mid 70s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil Sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Sunday, October 4th. Clean economy legislation could give boost to carbon projects. The story was written by Mella McEwen. The Permian Basin may not have been on the mind of members of Congress who authored the Energy Innovation Package, known as the Clean Economy Jobs and Innovation Act, but the legislation could play a major role in developments in this region. The House approved the Act 2 weeks ago by a vote of 220 to 185. The package, designed to support clean energy technologies through research and development funding, offers support to electric vehicles and programs to finance clean energy projects. It will now be taken up by the Senate, which is considering its own version of an energy bill. Initiatives the bill is designed to support could include efforts to build direct air capture and carbon sequestration projects in the Permian by 1.5, a joint venture of Oxy Low Carbon Ventures and Racine Capital Management. U.S. Representative Mark Veazey, a Texas Democrat, told an online media briefing sponsored by the Carbon Capture Coalition before the package passed, that he has been working on energy efficiency, innovation, and clean energy efforts for a number of years. He cited his co-sponsorship of House Resolution 2088, which extended the Energy Efficiency and Conservation Block Grant Program. Veazey said his Dallas district utilized the grant to improve energy efficiency at hundreds of city-owned buildings, totaling about 3 million square feet, resulting in a savings of over $1 million in energy costs. Those freed-up funds then were allocated to other uses, such as energy audits of structures like recreation centers and fire stations, where to focus future retrofitting efforts. The bill seeks to deploy technology to reduce emissions and accelerate carbon capture, storage, and use across all sectors of the economy, Veazey said. Quote, "That's the key to limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees, the timely deployment of these projects. If you look not just in the U.S. but around the world, Texas is leading efforts in so many areas," he said. "The importance is balancing environmental protection with economic growth and showing how that benefits everyone," he said. Quote, "We love this bill at Third Way," said Matt Bright, policy advisor, climate and energy with the think tank. Noting that the last energy legislation was passed in 2007, quote, "We're living in very different times, and this bill reflects that. Why now is it important for this energy bill? Jobs, jobs, jobs. We have lost a significant number of jobs in manufacturing and other areas due to COVID-19. These are unprecedented times, and this bill is a great way to couple the climate change benefits of energy with real jobs," end quote. The message is that the legislation will touch every congressional district in the nation, Bright said. Kim Dean of the Bipartisan Policy Center said her organization sees the package as a way to step up clean energy and decarbonization efforts and praised the package's bipartisan support. Quote, "We appreciate the research and development is there to move technology forward and also to deploy that technology beyond the demonstration phase. Efforts toward commercialization are definitely needed," she said. Shuchi Talati with Carbon 180 said her organization appreciates that the package supports demonstration of various technology, particularly direct air capture. She said a highlight of the package is funding for expanding carbon capture to materials such as cement and steel. Said Lee Beck with the Clean Air Task Force, quote, "A highlight of this bill and why it's significant is what's often overlooked. 75% of emissions reduction is expected to come from technologies that are not yet mature. We have solutions already. That's an indispensable nature of innovation. This package overall can boost innovation. $15 billion for carbon capture can take innovation to the next level," end quote. Beyond tax credits like the 45Q tax credit, Beck said the legislative package will make strides toward cost reduction and allow for the proliferation of technology or allowing its application in carbon capture and the next best thing, hydrogen. A number of countries, like Canada and Norway, have surpassed the U.S. in building out net zero carbon energy infrastructures, she said, and the legislation will move that forward and, most importantly, could create hundreds, if not thousands, of high-quality jobs in carbon capture. Lori Pickford, with Citizens for Responsible Energy Solutions, was supportive of the bill and pleased with the bipartisanship, but expressed hope it would not turn partisan as it moves forward. Quote, "We'll have to see how it fleshes out on the floor and potentially get some of these very important energy innovation research and development provisions enacted before we get a new Congress and start to tackle harder issues," she said. Vesey said that what's next is continuing to promote the area of carbon capture, stressing that it's cost-efficient and worth the investment. Quote, "If there are any obstacles or hurdles for us to attract investments, that will be us continuing to make the case carbon capture is viable and needs to be part of the conversation in terms of the environment and energy," end quote. Region has a bright future, Tudor Pickering chairman says. The story was written by Mella McEwen. For all the woes the Permian Basin energy industry is currently experiencing, demand destruction from the COVID-19 pandemic and low oil prices, it still has a bright future. Quote, "We think there's a very bright future for the Permian Basin," Bobby Tudor, chairman of Tudor, Pickering, Holt & Company, stated during the Permian Basin Petroleum Association's 58th annual meeting, held virtually this year. Quote, "It will be different than what we were expecting. The Permian has great rock, great people, great companies, and a great regulatory environment. The Permian Basin will continue to be a critical part of the global energy picture," end quote. Tudor said his company expects oil prices to remain range-bound at current levels and not rising above $50 for the next 5 years. Still, he said Permian Basin oil production will continue its upwards trajectory. Quote, "We're actually projecting the Permian will continue to grow. We're showing 5.6 million barrels per day in 2025. It's not as if the Permian will fall off a cliff. It's just the growth rate will moderate," Tudor said. He said the questions are, who will be generating that growth? Will growth be concentrated in fewer companies? There likely will be meaningful consolidation around Permian companies, and larger companies will be consolidators, Deuter said. Quote, markets demand scale and return of capital, and smaller companies find that very hard to meet, he said. There are a lot of general and administrative efficiencies that could be wrung out in consolidation, he said. Quote, the G&A picture would look very different in a highly consolidated Permian. Our expectation is that is likely to happen over the next several years, end quote. The challenge is the industry's record of losses over the last decade has made it difficult to attract investors, he said. Quote, access to capital is limited to the largest, highest quality operators, Tudor said. Investors are now focused on return on capital. They want operators to generate cash flow, lower their reinvestment rates, and moderate production growth, and investors want much lower leverage, he said. Some Permian-focused companies are already adjusting their operations to meet those new demands, he said. Looking forward, Tudor said the upcoming presidential election will be a meaningful catalyst for energy markets. Emerging markets, India, Southeast Asia, and Africa will determine the energy mix. ESG, environment, social, and governance issues matter and are a focus for investors as well as energy companies, he said. Quote, all that is actually healthy. The industry is responding appropriately, working to lower its environmental footprint, make operations cleaner, and being partners in driving toward a cleaner globe as opposed to being a hurdle to lowering emissions, end quote. Globally, and certainly in the U.S. and Europe, quote, the general populace believes climate change is real and we need to lower global emissions. That is driving behavior, and ultimately, I think it's going to result in lower emissions. That is good for the world. The question is, how do we provide affordable energy to the world while learning how to do it cleaner and with lower carbon dioxide emissions? It's a big challenge, and it's critical the energy industry, the U.S. energy industry in particular, be seen as partners in the drive to lower emissions. I think we're on the right path. It's a long, slow path. The nature of transition will be difficult without real breakthroughs in technology, end quote. There will be politicians and people who will only be happy if the oil and gas industry goes out of business, Tudor said. Quote, that will never happen. Never happen in our lifetime. The world needs what we do, he said. Worlds may not have resources needed to meet renewable demand, energy writer says. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Consumers and the U.S. economy have saved hundreds of billions in energy costs amid the shale boom led by the Permian Basin. The shale revolution changed the shape of the nation's electric grid, but also where the country stands vis-a-vis the rest of the world, author Robert Bryce said during the Permian Basin Petroleum Association's 58th annual meeting held virtually this year. The industry has provided cheap, reliable, abundant sources of natural gas, said Bryce, who writes on energy issues and is the author of A Question of Power, Electricity, and the Wealth of Nations. Yet the industry has had a miserable time despite its success. Quote, U.S. consumers are enjoying the benefits of the dramatic increase in production while the hydrocarbon industry is driving itself out of business because it's so successful, end quote. Looking at the nation's energy mix, Bryce said oil use continues to rise while coal use has plateaued and natural gas is growing at an even faster rate than oil and non-hydro renewable use is beginning to creep up. The nation has effectively decarbonized its electric grid thanks to the use of natural gas, he said. Globally, electric use rose 42% from 2005 to 2020, led primarily by China, India, and Southeast Asia. Quote, that growth is likely to continue because so many people are living in dire energy poverty. 3 billion people today use less electricity than the average refrigerator, Boyce said. He took a close look at the call to shift from fossil fuels to renewables and just what that transition would entail. He referred to California Governor Gavin Newsom's recent order to ban the sale of gas-powered vehicles in the state by 2035, as well as Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden's call for 500,000 public electric car charging outlets by 2030. Quote, the question is, what about the scale and who will pay for the infrastructure, Boyce said. The consumer has been left out of the discussion, end quote. He estimated that to replace heavy trucks in California with electric-powered heavy trucks would require 585 terawatt-hours of new electricity per year. Solar power nationally generates only 108 terawatt-hours, which is twice the output of wind turbines and nearly equal to the amount of solar power generated globally. Quote, the idea is to switch to renewables. That would require six times the solar we have now. These are just numbers, and I may be off by 50%. Cut it in half, and we're still talking the heavy-duty truck sector alone, using more power than that produced by every wind turbine in the country, Bryce said. That switch would also require batteries, he said, noting that a Tesla Gigafactory produces 50 gigawatt-hour per year of batteries. To provide enough batteries for electric-powered heavy-duty trucks in California alone would require the output of a Tesla Gigafactory for the next 1,170 years, he said. It would also require significant increases in minerals from copper and molybdenum for wind turbines and silicone for solar panels. Then there's the opposition to wind farms and solar farms and the transmission lines required to carry that power to the electric grid, Bryce said, citing protests of wind farms from Hawaii to Nebraska. All these moves are being done out of concern for the environment, he acknowledged, saying climate issues are emotional and there is almost a religious fervor around some of those belief systems. The Permian Basin energy industry must continue repeating the facts around the industry and energy use and pound those facts, he said. Despite the drive to switch to renewables, the infrastructure was built over decades to accommodate fossil fuels and, quote, that won't change over decades. That's reality, and it won't change overnight, he said.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, October 4th, 2020. The Recovery Slows by Dennis Elam, assistant professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. Quote from Yahoo Finance. Stock futures fell Friday morning after President Donald Trump revealed he had tested positive for COVID-19, injecting further uncertainty into an environment roiled by the coronavirus and the upcoming election. Marathon Petroleum paid $35 billion to acquire Endeavor in 2018. Endeavor had just spent millions changing its name from Tesoro. Now, Marathon is laying off 12,000 employees amid flat demand for gasoline. This is a social mood testament to the compulsion to expand at market tops. Other layoffs include Disney at 28,000, 9,000 full-time, Royal Dutch Shell at 9,000, and Dow Chemical at 2,000. American Airlines will furlough 19,000 workers. Royal Dutch has declined 59% year to date, compared to 22% for the FTSE 100 index. Shell's competitors BP PLC are down 54% this year, while Total has fallen by 42%. The nation's cinemas may not survive without help. Carnival has canceled most of its cruises for the remainder of the year. The news always attempts to link market action with some event, regardless of causality. This column has warned of positive mood likely topped this week. The NASD, DJIA, and transports all topped September 2nd. As for helping theaters and perhaps airlines, well, for how long and in what manner? Or is this like trying to rescue VHS tape machines? We have compared the fate of airlines, crews, and theaters to the fate of the whaling industry in 1848 to 1858. The gold rush and discovery of oil in the ground ended whaling. In the last decade, the biggest U.S. airlines spent 96% of free cash flow buying back their own shares while raising every fee imaginable. With the reality of Zoom and WebEx, is anyone anxious to board again? And has multiple streaming options, new studios, and flat screen HD TV likely put theaters and their $7 popcorn permanently out of business? A vicious bear market has engulfed the energy sector for some time. The sector fell 3.1% yesterday. As noted in this space, many shares already target the late March lows. Refiner Valero dropped 7% Thursday on narrowing margins and reduced fuel demand. After the fall 1929 crash, stocks recovered 50% into the spring of 1930. Stocks then lost 90% of their value, dropping from 390 to 42 over the next 2 years. Now most major indices have 50% of their stocks in bullish position. Most indices now look like late September of 1929 and 1987. And this morning, the DJIA is down 400 points. We cannot know if this is a distant echo of history, but similarities abound. This is not a crash prediction, but the suggestion that the February to March 5th week swoon could happen again, perhaps over a much longer time period. The memory of that just 8 months ago has vanished. In a striking social mood moment, Playboy, PLBY, is going public once again. Founded in 1953 as the post-World War II bull market got underway, it became a lifestyle icon of the 1960s and 70s. Now it is out of publishing and returns as a lifestyle brand across numerous products. That may be a fitting testimony to a waning bull market from 1948 through 2020. The Economist. Electionomics by M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group. The state of the economy is inevitably a central issue in presidential campaigns, debates, and elections. This year will likely be even more intense than usual, with the fallout from the pandemic causing millions of Americans to lose their jobs, their savings, and in many instances, their businesses. The best candidate to deal with the situation will be the subject of strong opinions and disagreements. During elections, economics becomes electionomics with rhetoric often far overshadowing reality. The perceptions of voters regarding who will do a better job in managing the economy can sway elections. For example, in 1992, the phrase, "It's the economy, stupid," coined by campaign strategist James Carville, helped shape the messaging that led to Bill Clinton's victory. Historical studies indicate that the economy typically grows at faster rates under Democratic presidents. The difference is not large, but it is statistically significant. Drawing any conclusions from the data is, at best, a complex undertaking. Most policy changes involve lag times, and current performance can be due to actions taken during prior administrations. Some presidents inherit structural problems, and others implement policies that only bear fruit down the road. It's possible to stimulate the economy in the short term, but cause long-term harm. I have been around long enough to witness all of these things. The bottom line is that trying to give a president substantial credit or blame for the economy is almost always oversimplifying. Moreover, there is a limit to what a president can do to change economic patterns. Major initiatives such as tax law changes or infrastructure overhauls fall largely to Congress. The president exerts influence and can issue executive orders in certain situations, but the range of those that can survive legal scrutiny is limited. Our analysis and that of several others estimate that growth in overall output and jobs would be higher under the Biden plan than the Trump plan. Neither is defined with the precision necessary for a full assessment, though the winners and losers would be different. Since neither party is likely to capture the presidency, the House, and 60 votes in the Senate, which is required to implement a full agenda, such comparisons are of limited value. As I've often said, the economy was in basically good shape going into the pandemic, and once the health crisis is adequately dealt with, we will see a return to sustainable growth, assuming that we keep the basic structure in place. The path of the economy is ultimately determined by major global patterns in cost structures, demographics, technology, supply chains, and similar phenomena. These factors dwarf the significance of who sits in the White House. Nonetheless, the season of electionomics is upon us. Stay safe.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org. This is a Recording Library of West Texas community update.
Clinics offer coronavirus tests. Midland Memorial Hospital, 68 nurse. MidlandHealth.org, mobile testing center at West Campus for COVID-19 nasal swab PCR. Must call for appointment. Antibody testing at West Campus or Main Campus Direct Access, 68 nurse or 221-1111. Cash prize for antibody testing, $50.
For the lighter side of local news, Recording Library of West Texas brings you The Lifestyle Show. Features from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. We'll feature fun local stories about people in our community, plus columns such as gardening and food. The Lifestyle Show, Friday mornings at 6 and repeated Sunday nights at 7:30 and Thursdays at 4:30 a.m. on Recording Library of West Texas Radio. Read by listening.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 60 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 70s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the upper 90s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-70s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, October 4th, 2020, Life and Times. Contact lens wearers take note. By Levi Stone, RN, MSN. If you're one of the over 37 million people in the United States who wear contact lenses, you likely appreciate the convenience and unobstructed vision these lenses can provide. First produced in the late 1930s, contact lenses have advanced significantly over the years. Available in several varieties, consumers can fit the right type of lens to their individual preferences and needs. There are many benefits to contact lenses, which can include boosting personal confidence, enhancing performance in several activities, and most importantly, improving overall vision. However, even with popular disposable options such as daily, extended, or monthly wear, contact lens users must do their part by adhering to a regimen to ensure optimum eye and vision health. Healthy hygiene habits are a quintessential component of protection.